Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Cam. Here I am with the podcast director and of KNTU Media 88.1 here at UNT Denton. I have the one, the only Christina Smith. Welcome.
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Her various resume includes being a former radio host at WCMU Public Media. And so how long has 88.1 been around, though, just for starters?
Wow, it's been around for such a long time. They've been rebranded a few times, so it's kind of...
It was formed in 1890, but I didn't know when the radio station launched, because every other college seemed to have a radio station, but it wasn't clear-cut, like, whether they were on the waves or they were only, like, on local pickup radio, you know. So it's always interesting just seeing how it varies campus to campus, and some of them are exclusively part of their broadcasting department, and others are actually broadcasting on local antenna channels, but they're in the 88 something, you know, range. That's how you can tell.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we've been around for a long time, and right now we mainly serve the DFW area. But we are
Dallas Fort Worth, for those who don't know. But
yeah, oh yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine. It's I every once in a while I'll run into someone and they don't know what that is. I'm like, well, okay, Dallas Fort Worth.
No, I didn't know when I first moved to Texas, so I'm to learn the lingo.
It's all good. It's all good. So once again, you're from Mount Pleasant in Michigan. When did you become interested in radio in general?
Wow, thank you for asking that. Oh, I love answering that. Well, I'm a jazz musician. That's actually why I got to school at UNT, at the University of North Texas. So I'm currently a master's student for jazz, and I play the trumpet. But when I was an undergrad, I was also in the music program. I was doing classical trumpet at the time. Mm-hmm. And the radio station in Mount Pleasant, which was affiliated with the college I went to, Central Michigan University, they had an opportunity to be an on-air host for a show called Nightside Jazz and Blues. And yeah, I've always been like a public speaker. Like, that was something I was very much into when I was younger. So I applied for the job there because it kind of fit all of my interests, you know, of public speaking and learning more about jazz was kind of hit
part of it.
Like, it's part of the code of that job, right? Like, we had like this huge jazz library of vinyls and CDs, and it was a huge room. So I just kind of, it was like kind of like a playground, you know. So that's how I got to learn more about jazz and about radio, and that job was really the beginning of my like kind of obsession with public broadcasting, and that's what led me to KNTU and to podcasts here at this university.
It all blends together.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always been interested in like doing podcasts and things like that. So having the ability to produce many different podcasts is very special to me.
Sweet, sweet. Altogether, do you feel like it's getting easier for people to kind of come out of their shell and realize anybody can try something out, whether or not it's the right career path or not? Everyone can experiment, find what they're looking for.
Yeah, I think especially with something like podcasts, it's to be creative. It's a creative outlet. And so I found that anyone who can speak and has an interest in something can have a podcast, as long as, you know, they're being authentic and willing to be in front of a studio like this. I mean, it all depends on that. But anyone, I believe, can have a successful podcast.
Totally. Well, what courses are probably the biggest right now at UNT Denton, would you say?
Like, what kind of podcasts, or what do you mean?
Oh, no. What kind of, like, what are the kinds of classes that are very popular there at that campus at the moment?
Oh, classes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good question. Well, the school, I mean, obviously, I am a little biased because I'm a part of the music building, but I think we still have a very lively like program.
It all matters.
A lot of the classes that are like, you know, like jazz history kinds of courses, but also it's such a heavily like STEM school as well. I've heard that the engineering department and health department are very big and very successful as well. So
very nice.
Well-rounded university.
Okay, very cool. When did you personally come to the campus and just realize this is totally where I want to be right now?
Well, it was funny when I was auditioning for schools last year to be in a master's program. I had not really a clue of where I wanted to be. I thought I was going to go East Coast.
Join the club. Yeah.
And
the advisors tell you everything and you're it's like I'm going to have to keep coming down here because I still am not sure.
No, yeah. Well, when I had come here in person too, it's just the environment was so friendly and I had the opportunity to meet a lot of the faculty and it just felt like home already in a weird way. And so, yeah, it was the deciding factor for me.
And you've been with this since how many years?
This is my first year, so this is my second semester. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a fresh person, but
sound like
yeah.
You've been doing it for a decade, so that's awesome.
Great.
Altogether, it seems like the station itself is really good at being the usual kind of interactiveness, very hip, very peppy, for lack of a better word.
We're very cool, if you haven't known. No. I mean, we are branded as 881 Indy, and so that's...
And it's radio free for those wondering. Or ad free. What did I say?
Yeah. No, yeah, we do have like a bit of underwriting, but that's about it. But yeah, no, it's such a lovely environment here, and working with all the people and the creative team of promotions and social media and sports, it's so fun.
Very nice. And why do you think they're just so kind of just in general just very appealing right now? Because I'm seeing so many people talk about them just even on social media, so that's cool.
Hey, that's great to hear, especially as someone in the bubble. I never know how that looks from the outside, but I think the reason is because we are largely students working here. I mean, we have staff and faculty that have to guide us in what we're doing. But, our president, Mario Salazar, he's very active in all of the projects here and he knows what's happening and he's a student himself.
That's good.
I think that having students in control of it, they get to dictate the kind of creativity and the new stuff that's going on all around, you know, the world and in social media and in entertainment. And that's what makes it young and exciting to be a part of and to listen to, I think.
Nice. What's been kind of the interesting just growth with the station itself? And do you feel yourself kind of growing with all your experience that you're gaining?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think the station continues to evolve as, you know, technology changes all the time, especially with radio. And a lot of people think radio is dying, but I think that radio is just shifting. Mm-hmm. Everywhere it's shifting. And, you know, you have huge broadcasting production like NPR and iHeartMedia. They're everywhere. Tune in. Yeah. Radio is like, but I think it's such a huge thing to see stations like this evolve, and that's very important too.
Sweet. What's your favorite kind of music to play on the station, like some of the 80s gems really... that I've played?
Yeah, that's not really my department, but the stuff I love listening to that everyone else programs is the indie stuff, especially as a jazz musician. I don't know a lot about indie music, and so
it's listening... not uncommon, just like
podcasters
not listening to other podcasts because they're so busy trying to be comfortable with their viewpoint. When you're all part of it, it's okay to not want to oversaturate it or listen in on it, because I mean it seems like some are afraid that they're gonna unintentionally kind of copy someone else's thing that's not their voice, and then there's other times where it's like it's all what you want to make time for. So I mean, it's all
very true. Yeah, no, and I just like my own personal listening is not much indie music, so when I'm here and I get to listen to that music, it's very refreshing and exciting, and now I feel like I can talk to all my friends and like understand what I'm talking about.
Very nice. And what's kind of just the highlight of UNT Denton in general, like just with mascots and turnouts and just the design of the campus in general? Like, what do you think is just the most appealing about it?
Well, and I didn't know this before, especially coming from Michigan, from the north. I was a little wary about moving to Texas, you know, thinking it would be like a big culture shock, like north. But yeah. I really didn't know. And that was,
I can't blame you.
Yeah, no, that was the ignorance of me having not really known.
Well, no, it's fine, because half my family's from Michigan as well. So it's interesting just also how it seems to be kind of a common occurrence. Like, I see a lot of people coming over from either there or Florida and coming over here and vice versa. Oh, yeah. So I don't know if it's just similar cultures, similar real estate or what, but it's eye-opening.
But now that I am in Texas and specifically Denton, it's like a little oasis that is very, it seems young.
It's young.
And if like you've ever been to the square in Denton, which is like the downtown area, it is,
I think I've seen it. Yeah,
it's like, it has a bunch of small businesses and a lot of like really cool dive bars. Like, it's very like grungy and hip, and it feels like you're in like not Texas.
Sweet.
But that's kind of how the campus is too, I think. And I didn't know this until recently. I'm first generation Latina. My mother's from Mexico, and I didn't know this coming here that the population of Latin students here is almost like 25%, which is really big.
That's cool.
So you get that like culture here as well, and that was a very pleasant shock to get coming here.
Yeah. Do you think there's like a bigger demographic, especially with it being more diverse and everything, especially at this campus?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that it only helps. And that's why UNT it's a big school, and not only by numbers, but by the kind of creative stuff that you see come through here, and things like radio and music and in STEM groups as well. It's like everyone here is coming here to succeed and to learn, and that's a very powerful environment to be in.
Sweet. So when you got your bachelor's music in trumpet performance at Central Michigan University, what class were you a part of? Like, what year?
I graduated in 2022, so I'm very fresh out of the bachelor's degree. I was freshman. My freshman year was in 2018, so those were four.
It's been a minute, but what's it like for universities post COVID?
Wow, that's a good question, especially with
some were on Zoom, some were on like just local stations, some were like you can go if you want to, but you know, there's no guarantee everyone's going to go. It's been very chaotic having to explain to people the difference between all of this just because of one virus, you know?
Yes, it has been definitely a challenge, and I've noticed it in every aspect of school and in learning, and especially with like college radio since I worked there in undergrad and now. And it's shifted well now that COVID is kind of starting to go away. And I say that with knocking on wood and wearily. you know, we had to do a lot of shifts, especially with music, and we had virtual concerts, and we would be performing to an audience of none that we could see, just an empty concert hall. It was frustrating. And I remember my junior year recital, only my professor and one of my friends who was operating the camera, they were the only people I saw in the audience.
Yeah.
It's very distressing. And so being able, my senior year, by that time, I was able to have an in-person recital, which was very emotional. It was very emotional. And so I was very happy to be able to do that. And yeah, it was a really rough time creatively. So
totally. What tips and tricks do you recommend for continuing education students, as well as just those trying to explore different career options and during this still somewhat partially hectic time?
I just think that, and it's hard to say this, but I just think like having that open-mindedness in any career field that you're going into, and being able to have the ability to shift as things change, that's very important, and being flexible. But also knowing that everyone is kind of experiencing that same level of distress and weariness in the concepts of a changing world. And so we're all on the same page of not really knowing what's coming next. And that is okay. To live in that discomfort, I think, is very important to do.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because you pretty much have to, kind of like how anyone who's been with fame and fortune has said, you still have to fail first before you can embrace fame. And yet it's still not easy, because it's kind of like, you know, giving someone permission to sock you in the face just so you know how it feels before you can say, hey, you know, I don't want to get punched in the face again.
Yes, no, exactly. I think, you know, it's all trial and error for sure. And that's, I mean, that's how those are the things that I miss about being on live radio, actually, is because sometimes it's okay to embrace the mistakes you make. And sometimes listeners love to hear that. Like if they hear you stutter or say something funny, that's like part of the enjoyment that like gets them to tune back into what they're listening to, you know, so.
I got to applaud all the DJs. They all really have a sense of fun. And them in 88.5, which is another Mesquite radio station, seem to all be kind of about just naturally just kind of embracing just the weather news and then introducing just, again, obscure B-side type, you know, music hits. And it's so cool to kind of see, again, you guys kind of just being very comfortable with doing it all on your own. Because like, for instance, and I won't name names, I've seen some other local stations and they play some great local music, but they seem to kind of just be asleep at the wheel, depending on the DJ. And so it's really cool to just see everyone kind of jiving. Do you feel like the energy's kind of flowing?
Oh, yeah. And the cool thing, too, is so I used to work on like a raw live radio show. And that was very, you know, like there was no preparation.
Back
really.
In Michigan?
Yeah, back in Michigan. Okay. And this was something that was very scary at the beginning, but then it's like, start to embrace it. But here, the way that they do it is, and this is every radio station, including the one I used to work at, they're all doing the shift towards more automation, but yes, make automation personal. And that is something I think we do very well here. And doing like small spots. I mean, I think I have one on here that's like I'm introducing like a Young the Giant song on the radio. So, it's cool to hear the voices of people who are in the community introducing the things you're about to hear.
Right. And do you recommend anybody kind of try this out in general, just any kind of broadcasting, even if it's just like for extra credit or what have you, just so they let go of that fear?
I think anyone should practice this, because I think when you work on radio or just podcasts, something involving production and audio and entertainment, it's so useful in anything you can do. Like, I mean, I would love to have someone doing a podcast on like their experiences as like a med student, or like as who's doing like engineering work. Like all of these concepts are so interesting to people, and everyone has knowledge that they can share, and that's useful. And being able to have these skills of making something of like something as simple as knowledge, something other people want to hear, that is so exciting. And that is, that's why I love radio, because it can make anything interesting.
We'll return after these messages.
Hello and welcome to Culture Shocked, the pop culture podcast brought to you by four aging millennials and our outdated opinions. Join us every Tuesday as we discuss movies, TV, games, and even music, new and old.
Dude, what do you think you're doing?
Are you seriously trying to record a promo without us right now?
Well, yeah.
Dude, you can't just do the promo by yourself. Who's going to listen to that?
Yeah, and you probably haven't even told them that we're a pop culture podcast where we always agree on everything. For instance, the Sam Raimi trilogy easily being the best of the Spider-Man movies.
No. But I think we can all agree that Jaws is a classical masterpiece.
Nope, don't like that. But we do all agree that the sequel trilogy of Star Wars is the best in the Skywalker saga, right, guys?
That comment is so ridiculous. I don't even know where to
begin. Anyways, that'll do it from all of us here at Culture Shock. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsy, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
And getting comfortable with the sound of your voice, maybe even just a public speaking career, anything.
Oh, absolutely. And that's another thing too. I was so uncomfortable hearing my own voice. It's like I didn't even know what I sounded like. And the same thing happens when I'm recording myself musically. It's like I'm hearing like a whole different person, and you're so hyper aware of all the mistakes you make. It like causes you in that discomfort again. It's like it causes you to learn that it's okay to be uncomfortable with things, yeah, that you do, things that are like uncharted territory.
No, totally. I was in a similar position where I tried out improv and I got so comfortable just making decisions on the fly, and I recommended it to other people and they were like, "Well, I can't do what all my favorite comedians do." I'm like, you don't have to do comedy. Like, you don't even like the people who try to be funny are often the ones who don't make it because they're just too just like on the nose in everyone's face. It'd be like if you were trying to be a radio announcer, but just like shouting into the mic before you're even pressed record, you know, just like.
And that's funny that you mentioned that. When I was in college, like my freshman year, I had a friend that urged me to audition for the improv troupe.
Oh, really?
At school. And I love things like SNL, and I love stand-up, and I just, comedy is something that I really love. And this is the thing, I'm good at it in everyday conversations. I'm good at it when I'm not thinking about it, but I was terrible at it when I went in and I had to like try to make something entertaining when I was thinking too much about it. And that was the lesson I learned there.
You think you're dead in the water when it's all kind of burst comedy. I don't know how else to explain it. Yeah.
Like the moment I start thinking like, oh, I want to be funny. I want to be the funniest person in the room. Then I'm like the most annoying person that no one wants to talk to you.
I hear you. It is rough at first. And yeah, no, don't get me wrong. Like if you're just not enjoying it, then you probably don't want to do it anyway. But it is interesting how it's kind of a grind at first. Anything.
Oh yeah, no. And you know, maybe someday I'll like revisit that dream of being a comedian, but you know, it just wasn't for me at the time.
Nice. Altogether, so, you know, the weather's been kind of pretty unpredictable here lately. We've all been getting hit with various storms all throughout Texas, as well as other neighboring states on the Gulf Coast. Would you say that weather's going to kind of keep getting a little hectic there? Or
I don't know, especially since I'm new to Texas. Everyone always says that it's unpredictable at any point, but I do think that at this point, it's only going to get warmer. So we're not going to have any more of those spurts of like cold and rain and all of that. So hopefully that'll end at the
end. Oh, for sure, for sure. Are there any sections of the radio station that you're looking to improve and add on to? Enhance a bit.
I mean, I think like for me and what my expertise is in, I can't wait for the podcast section to grow because that is something that is fairly new. And we're working on getting like video podcasts up and running, which will be very fun to do, and we have to do it right. And so it's going to be a process to get there, but I'm so excited to see that grow and us kind of refining our process and things like that.
Very cool. Altogether, it seems like it is, you know, aside from all this growth, what would you like to actually see? Like, what kind of podcasts would you like to have be on there? Like, celeb and gossip channel, true crime channel, TV recap channel. What are you looking to do with the podcasts?
So right now, and I'll explain like what kind of podcasts we have like in the works. So right now, up and running, we have a pretty political podcast called The Lee Enoch Show, which is he calls it the most controversial podcast in America. So that one's up and running, and it has been for a while before I even started working here. And we also have a new sports podcast called In Between the Stitches, whose hosts I love the hosts. They're so fun, and they make sports very interesting. As someone who's not super into the world of sports,
Gift. Do you think a lot of those podcast hosts, that's kind of what their hidden gift is? They're able to make anything interesting?
Yes, I think so. Like they're the way they speak. And that's another thing. You have to be passionate about what you're talking about. And Brady Wilson, who's the host, who's one of the hosts of In Between the Stitches. When I hear him talking about sports and he gets really into like the passion of it, I'm like, see, this is what he loves doing this. And this is why. But we're starting other podcasts. There's one that's a jazz-oriented podcast that's called What Makes Music, and that'll be starting to upload in hopefully the next few weeks. Sweet. And I'm co-hosting one with my friend Will. We just finished recording right before this call. So hopefully that'll be up. So, I mean, the things that we're lacking in that I cannot wait to see are like food podcasts. I would love to see someone wanting to do a podcast that like reviews the food in the Denton area or like Dallas Fort Worth area. Because that's just so exciting. And we have some people who are getting trained to do a movie review podcast or movie conversational podcast. So we got like the entertainment area covered in terms of visual and aural entertainment, but I can't wait for more people to come in with topics I can't even think of, you know, like topics that are so niche but very interesting.
And only you guys, you know, can say this figured out.
Yeah.
altogether, how big would you say the staff is right now? Like just about a dozen right now?
I would say about a dozen because we have, I think, like five student directors right now who work in promotion, social media, things like that. And I'm the only podcast director that works here.
But, job title's taken, guys.
Yeah, so it's mine, thank you. But, and then we have two full-time staff members who oversee all of the student directors, but so we're a small but mighty team for sure.
Very cool. Anything else that's coming soon that you guys kind of want to promote a bit?
Yeah, we started this new segment called Homebrewed that's on radio, and that's when we feature local artists on KNTU on the radio, and that seems to be very exciting. That's something I'm definitely going to be tuning into. I can't say with definitively when it airs. I believe it's
right.
like Mondays at 8, but please look it up because I can't say that.
No pressure. Yeah, we'll look it up.
But it's a brand new thing that we started a few, like maybe a week or two ago. So that will be very exciting to see happen, and just giving a chance, like an opportunity for those younger artists who are starting to, you know, creep up the world of music to have a spotlight.
That is very cool. Altogether, it seems like the sky's the limit, but you guys have no limit. You'll find a way to kind of just keep finding, again, enough diverse programming. And it's just really cool to just see, again, just it seems kind of rare when you see kind of a local station just actually wanting to put on a show every show. So it's really, my hat's off to you guys.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm so happy and proud to be a part of a team that everyone here loves being a part of this work and in this environment. And so that's very, it is unfortunately rare to find that, but
yeah,
it's very special when you do find it.
No, I'm with you. Cause like I knew some people who were getting into broadcasting and then they found out, like, this was in the 2010s, so it was before we were having culture wars and everything, but they're like, oh, you mean I have to be held accountable or I can't talk this way or that way? I'm like, did you think you and don't have a set of rules or a standards?
That's definitely a conversation I keep having to have with, you know, people who are wanting to start a podcast and that don't really know the specifics of how you do have to put work in, and you have to love.
You have to organize. You can't make it up off the top of your head.
Listen, I'm not someone who's above that. I am learning as I'm going, especially in this job. And especially as we're trying to delve into video podcasting, it's work. It is definitely not easy to do that.
Sure. And just overall, how many number of podcasts, like, would you estimate you think you'll supervise?
Man, I would not want to exceed like 15. I think that would be too much to supervise, but I think the golden number for me would be like 10, you know, like having like a nice variety, 10 to 15, where you're getting all kinds of content that if you're someone who's just like surfing the web, or someone who's like literally Googling something random or searching on Spotify and then come across just something that seems to fit your interest, that's the kind of thing I want to create here, that people can find anything they're looking for in our podcasts.
Sweet. And anything else you'd like to promote before we go?
No, I'd just say that for anyone listening, please like look into our podcast. And right now we are small, but we are growing, and I'm very that moment that we have
every other radio station has a podcast app add-on.
Yeah, I know. It's getting so popular and competitive. So we got to.
It's like, in case people have digital radio or just aren't going to be in their car listening to it anytime soon, you can take it with you anywhere. I think the best part about any app is everyone's got a different data plan, and it might even just be satellite based. So again, it could still go anywhere.
I mean, every time I take a road trip, I need to have like a true crime podcast on.
Yeah.
Thing that I love. But that was like, especially, so I did like a road trip to come here from Michigan. That was how I like made it to school here, was I had to drive myself. And that was the longest drive I've ever had to take. So I listened to hours and hours of like the true crime podcast from Parcast. Mm-hmm. And it's so good. But and then you like listen to so much, and then you like start thinking that everyone's a serial killer.
Yes. And at night you always are looking over your head, and it's like, this, why, when did this become a 60 minutes
have become a huge interest of mine. And I think that is for a lot of people, it's just like a sense of comfort, like you're having a conversation with people without having to have someone around you to have a conversation with.
That's fine. A follow-up, or do you think you're gonna go to one of the upcoming true crime conventions?
Honestly, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, they had one about 2 years ago apparently.
But I would definitely go to one for sure.
It was really lovely because like they all had their own set of rules, but like these particular like I think the main head of Crime Junkie, who was even on Conan O'Brien's podcast recently, like she was there, even though she was a bigger name, and she was helping some of these other independent podcasts really get some, you know, they were guesting on each other's shows, but it was like Nobody No Crime Network was part of there. And then it was just really all cool how they all kind of had the same formula, is like, hey, make damn sure that, you know, to give disclaimers if you've had to change some names or just something else that's like a big need to know, like, hey, this case is still at trial. We're trying to not interfere with it or influence, you know, the jury. And that they've done other areas, as well as just how-to tricks for anyone who might even want to consider pursuing that kind of podcast, is like, well, make sure to reach out to the victims or all sides of the story, back up your info like you would any research paper, and not over dramatized to where now everyone's getting a bizarre sense of this, you know. it's kind of just like respectability kind of thing, like, and it's just so cool how so many of them have even opened up the bigger, you know, corporate news to recheck their take on what are now, some of them are, you know, decades old stories, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so, and I feel like all of those stories have something that make it like really interesting and special to listen into, and also very scary.
Yeah, absolutely scary. Well, so this has been a delight having Ms. Smith on here. For those who want to see what 88.1 is on, where can they find that?
Yeah, just if you have, you know, a regular old car radio or radio at home, 88.1 if you're in the DFW area. But also we are online at www.kntu.com. So check us out. We do have both Jazz streaming on our HD2 channel, but we also do have 88.1 Indie, which is our main channel. So yeah, check us out.
Sweet. Alrighty. Well, it's been a delight, and hopefully we influenced and inspired someone here.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. You know what?
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.